Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
Here I am. Welcome to the program. All right. Financial fraud is still rampant, but most people can't spot it. That was a survey that was done by the FINRA. That's the regulatory body, self-regulatory body for brokerage firms and broker-dealers. But the foundation they have surveyed 2,400 U.S. adults 40 and older to find out how common financial fraud solicitations are or how unprepared Americans can be to spot this. And there are several highlights from the survey I wanted to mention to you just to help you keep your gloves up, keep your guards up. The report's available, I'm sure, at FINRA's website, finra.org, FINRA.org. And I also pulled this from Investment News Magazine, which is one of my favorite magazines. And there are several highlights I'll mention to you. 40% of the people surveyed to this report they call the Financial Fraud and Fraud Susceptibility in the United States report. And what they found is, and this is where some of it's a little bit surprising, but I can understand. People are still, even after the Bernie Madoff and the mini Madoffs that I've talked about on this show before, even with what we've seen and what we've heard about with how the scammers work, a full 40% of the people surveyed said that they found an annual return of 110% on an investment to be appealing. Well, I mean, yeah, but it's not real. And then anything about fully guaranteed investments, a lot of people are really attracted to that. And there are not many fully guaranteed things out there. Even the safest vehicles, with the exception of a fixed rate CD or fixed rate insurance product like an annuity, fixed annuity, not talking about where it varies in its interest, but a true fixed, there's just not much of that. And the spokesperson for the FINRA Investor Education Foundation, Jerry Walsh, said, these outsized returns are highly improbable, as is any sort of guaranteed returns. And I agree with her again. She wrote about something else I agreed with recently. She went on to say, this is a great quote, Bernie Madoff was offering guaranteed returns of 12%, which isn't even an outsized number, but the market conditions didn't matter. He was offering a consistent annual return. Well, I know somebody firsthand that got sucked into a scam over on the west coast of Florida, the Sarasota area, and he brought his statements in and I was giving him a second opinion, and the would-be advisor or investment expert was just very, very consistent with double-digit returns. Even when the market was doing badly, they still produced returns. Well, that should be a huge red flag. So here's a couple other things. There's a lot of people that don't report this, and either because they're embarrassed or they don't know where to go. So you can definitely get in touch with these regulators and they can steer you in the right direction, FINRA, and you're certainly can contact the state for the state of Florida or whatever state you are in. You know, and it's not just people that are retired that are the target. I've seen people fall victim that are younger. So this is something that everyone needs to be on their guard about. And also, be aware that you may be targeted because of your political persuasion, your ethnicity, your culture. As recently here reported in Financial Advisor Magazine, and this is in September, $30 million Ponzi scheme, a former Wellington, Florida gentleman, George Luis Theodule, or Dule, I'm mispronouncing his name, I'm sure, charged with multiple counts of wire fraud, security fraud, and money laundering by defrauding thousands of victims. And you know what his angle was? He targeted Haitian Americans. He targeted one community. And the indictment by the U.S. Attorney's Office said that he induced individuals to invest their money with his companies, Creative Capital Consortium and Creative Capital Concepts. He told investors, ready? He told investors he would be able to double their money in 90 days, primarily by trading stock options. I don't care what country you're from or what language you speak, okay? If somebody tells you they can double your money in 90 days, just put your fingers in your ears and walk away, okay? And so only a small portion, the report goes on to say only a small portion of the investors' money was placed in trading accounts, which were invariably depleted without any gains. Instead, the money was used ready, you know what I'm going to tell you, to repay earlier investors and for the Ponzi schemer's own benefit. So it's a real shame. Drew Breakspear, commissioner for Florida's Office of Financial Regulation, said the case provides an egregious example of somebody exploiting the trust of members of their own community. So, you know, even when you got somebody that they say they're one of you, somebody joins your church, new person in church, and being nice to everybody and say they can help you invest. And well, maybe they're just there to join a church for that purpose. But people do it. Sorry to say. All right. What else do I have for you? I've got answers to some of your questions. I've got questions from listeners and readers of my column. info@davidholland.com. Can get your email to me and I'll be happy to answer your question. info@davidholland.com. All right, I've got another question. Here it is. I am almost ready to sit down and put a plan together, but I'm afraid. When I've tried to plan previously, I ended up with less than when I started. I've started taking required distributions from two individual retirement accounts and a 401k this year. Can you advise me? Jim from Palm Coast. Jim, I'm happy to advise or at least give you my 2 or 4 cents on the subject. One of the things that longtime listeners of this program knows that they know that I believe retirement planning shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't be complicated and it shouldn't be stressful. And if it feels that way, then you just might not be doing it right or you might not be getting the right kind of help. The reality is that financial products, investment vehicles, tax laws, Social Security benefits, all these things can become more complicated. I mean, Social Security, there's the latest trend and how do you max out your benefits and all these different, you know, do this, do that, stand on your head, wink, throw salt over your shoulder, all these little things you're supposed to do to maximize your benefits. Things get more and more complicated. But the planning process, and of course, I believe that's where financial planners can help. Planning process should not be complicated. So, Jim, it sounds like you need a fresh perspective, a second opinion on your financial plans and investing. If you've been disappointed before, don't give up. You know, if you buy a car and it's a lemon, doesn't mean all cars are bad. Don't give up. Start over, get a fresh perspective. And here's some great news. Volusia and Flagler County, as is our other areas of the country, is home to plenty of qualified, experienced, credentialed advisors who can help. So whether you're in Volusia, Flagler, or you're in Orange County, California, or you're in wherever in the country, you can go to cfp.net. It's an online website. You can look for a financial planner in your area, and you can check out their website, look around, ask around, find at least 3 advisors, interview them, make sure that your personalities match and mesh, just gauge your comfort level. And a lot of advisors, here's what a lot of people don't know. A lot of advisors will analyze your current investments. They'll make recommendations to you and do all that without any obligation. Now, there are some financial folks out there that can be obnoxious and hound you and chase you and pester you, but good ones won't do that. You know, the better ones will be, you know, a little more respectful and professional about it. But they'll do that without charging you for the opportunity to maybe help you with your money. They'll audition for you. That's another way of looking at it. So you can then evaluate what each advisor puts together for you, and you can decide who you're comfortable with, and then you can pick one to help you. And hopefully, Jim, your fears about financial planning will subside. I sure hope so, because it shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't be hard. All right. I have another one real quick. Another great question. This is from Bill in DeLand. I'm 81 years old, and I have $330,000 at my disposal. I'm not interested in making money, and what he means by that is earning interest, as much as he is interested in security. The only advantage, Bill said, of banks over his mattress is that the bank is insured. And he's considering an 18-month CD certificate deposit, and his question is, what do I do? What's your opinion? Well, Bill, here's what I'm going to tell you. At 81, and for safety of principle, candidly speaking, your choices are narrow, but they are straightforward. Here they are. Number 1, cash in your wallet, under your mattress, or in your safe. Put it where you want. you know, that's pretty secure. Now, of course, it could get stolen. You don't want to walk around with $10,000 in your wallet. But if you got it in the mattress, I know there's a, you know, that's tongue in cheek. But if you've got it, it's yours and nobody's going to, you know, it's not going to get lost like being lost in the market. Number two, your second choice, checking, savings, money market account at the bank or credit union. And, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with parking money in a money market account with where interest rates are today. You're not losing that much by sitting there in cash with earning 0.1%, 0.2% while you figure out what to do. And until you do, that should be your default. I just met with somebody the other day that had a lot of money in cash, and I loved her answer. She said, we just didn't know what to do yet. And so instead of doing the wrong thing, we did nothing. And I said, that was the right thing to do. Sit in cash until you figure it out. Number three, what else can you do here? Number three, you could do those CDs. You mentioned an 18-month CD, Bill. You could do that. There's nothing wrong with that. You just have to pick the maturity that's best going to fit your situation. Number four, fixed rate annuity or a fixed index annuity. Fixed rate annuity, you get a guaranteed fixed rate or the company will declare the rate and its interest tied just to the what the insurance company declares it or what they earn on their investments and they give you a piece of that. Or it can be an index that it's tied to. So it's fixed annuity, it's safe, but the interest is tied to how, say, the S&P 500 performs. Now, with insurance companies, of course, there is the safety comes from their financial strength. So that's an important thing to look at. You don't want to, some of the companies out there I wouldn't recommend. So make sure you're dealing with a well-rated and reputable company. So those are your questions. I'm happy to answer. The email again is info@davidholland.com. info@davidholland.com, and we'll get your questions on the air. And we'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have a very, very, very special treat. I know my guests are special. I say that, but every time I say that, I find somebody more special or as special as the others, I should say. Dr. Richard Peterson, he's a medical doctor, but boy, I tell you what, he's got an interesting background, and he is on our program today because we're going to be talking about investors and how investors think and how investors make decisions. And so, Dr. Peterson, welcome to the program.
Thanks, David. I appreciate that kind introduction.
Well, I'm not finished. Dr. Peterson has a neuroeconomics postdoctoral studies from Stanford. He has this psychiatry residency, San Mateo Medical Center. Of course, Doctor of Medicine, University of Texas, a Bachelor of Arts in Liberal Arts, University of Texas. And then this is interesting, a Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering from University of Texas. So the obvious play on words there is you know how our minds are wired and how that electricity runs, right?
Yeah, that's the goal, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a lot of what you do, I understand, is you are really into melding or merging these different disciplines and fields of study, as well as from a medical perspective, on how we think about money and how we make decisions and how investors do what they do. So this is why, of course, we wanted you to be on the program. Now, the website that our listeners can go to is MarketPsych, and that's spelled P-S-Y-C-H, so MarketPsych.com. The doctor has written a couple of great books. I'll mention them to you. Inside the Investor's Brain, The Power of Mind Over Money. And then a second one, Market Psych, How to Manage Fear and Build Your Investor Identity. So again, welcome to the program. So tell us, Dr. Peterson, what is the number one thing that investors do proverbial shoot themselves in the foot?
You know, the number one thing, and I think we all do it, is we take the short-term emotional urges that we feel, and we allow them to overrule our long-term plan. Now, we don't just do it in investing. We do it with our diet habits, with our not exercising when we know we're supposed to. But in investing, it's very costly, and you see the problem, you see the damage immediately.
I was sharing with Dr. Peterson before we started the program that, you know, I do this every day as a financial planner, so I see a lot of what he's talking about. And, you know, I've seen people make mistakes. I have one gentleman in particular that you would say is probably textbook, Dr. Peterson, where when the Dow went all the way down to 6,500 points back in March of 2009, I pleaded with him not to sell, and he made me do it. It's his money, and, you know, he's still sitting in cash.
Yeah, and then there's, of course, the regret. You know, once you've done something like that, you feel so bad about it, you don't even want to think about it. The easiest thing to do is to not face it, not own up to it, and work through it.
You and I are sharing some similar comments, because I've often said to people, there aren't many more uncomfortable feelings than the feeling of regret. And that kind of compounds a problem, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. In fact, they say that the fear of regret is one of the biggest drivers that keep people both from staying out of the market when they need to be in, and then as the market starts to take off in a bull market like this year, it's what causes people to want to keep up with the Joneses. They don't want to not be involved when everybody else is making money at the party.
So they rather lose when everybody's losing, just so they don't miss out when it's gaining.
In a sense, I mean, they don't like that feeling of being left behind.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
I mean, misery loves company. You know, it's one thing that, okay, I lost money. Well, hey, you know what? Everybody lost money. In fact, that's the common mantra of some of the financial people, the financial industry. Ah, hey, look, it'll come back. Everybody lost money. You lost money too. Like, that is supposed to make you feel better. But
right.
But the flip side of that, of course, is that, you know, oh my gosh, if everybody made money and you didn't, oh, brutal.
Right. That's right.
So what, again, this is, we're going to encapsulate this as a nice pill that our listeners can swallow. What would you say then? How do you help people kind of see this, that I know you've got two entire books about it, but what can people do to really try to focus on making the right decisions?
Well, I appreciate the question. I mean, I'll be saying a lot of what you say to your clients, but maybe I can say it a little bit differently.
Okay.
Because the basic issue is sort of what keeps us. So if you think back to high school, right, everybody wants to fit in. There's peer pressure. When we're in high school, we're establishing our identity, who we are, who do we want to be in life. We can do almost anything. And when you think about it with your money, we have a lot of pressures. You know, do you watch Jim Cramer and do what Jim Cramer says? Do you listen to your financial advisor and follow a disciplined long-term plan? Do you, join some website and follow their recommendations? So we have these pressures, and we have to figure out who do we want to be as an investor? Do we want to be a short-term day trader? Do we want to be a long-term contemplative type investor? So we have to make that decision. And what we say to people is, if you don't know who you are by the time you've, say, grown up and got your own money, if you don't know who you are as an investor, you're going to be jumping through a lot of different crowds, and you're going to be giving them a lot of your money. The way to success in investing is to just find out who you are. Am I a long-term investor? Am I a short-term trader? Find out who you are and get really good at it, to be honest. And I know, you know, we typically say don't be a short-term trader, and most people shouldn't. But if you really want to be a short-term trader, then go to Wall Street and become a short-term trader, and you'll probably be good at it.
Be honest with yourself, then.
Yeah, be honest with yourself. Find out who you are. Who are you really? What do you really do when the chips are down? That tells you what you should be doing with your money. And most people will admit, they'll say, you know, I don't really do the right thing. I need somebody to help me keep track, to coach me through these tough times. So that's when they need to work with a financial advisor or put themselves in long-term ETFs in a position where they can't really mess around with their money, especially
right.
when they're frightened.
I think you speak to a very valid point, Doctor, about having the advisor there to guide. I have a 3-no policy. You'll like this. You know, part of my job is to tell my clients no. No, we're not going to liquidate. And I'll tell them no 3 times. And then on the 4th one, I say, okay, it's your money. But they're going to have to get by three very emphatic no's. We're not going to do that. We're going to stick to the plan.
That's right.
In looking at your book, one of the things that really jumped out at me is that you said, and I'm giving your book back to you here, but it really struck me that individual investors can develop really 3 key advantages. First, they can have a superior private information about companies, and this is by doing research. And then you said, or they can have a better research process. And then you talked about being able to process the information better. And then third, understand how investors, you know, their biases. So help us understand how we can kind of work with those three advantages.
Well, the first two are really alien to people who are outside of the investment industry. So what you're seeing now with a lot of the insider trading cases is that there are networks on Wall Street where people are trading on important information. Now, they're not always doing that. There are, if you're a small investor, you can sometimes have advantages with smaller companies, smaller mid-cap companies that are local. So unless you're on Wall Street, you don't want to think that you know what's going to happen to Apple before everyone else does. But in terms of the fundamentals, what you can know about Apple stock that other people can't know is you can actually look at all the enthusiasm about the Apple products. When Steve Jobs' biography came out, all the hubbub about Apple, and that can tell you that, well, actually, there's a lot of attention focused on Apple. And what does attention tend to do? Well, public attention tends to move.
Right.
So all the attention won't be focused here after a while, and since 90% of investors are buyers, and they tend to buy what they're paying attention to, according to a lot of the research, they're not. This is probably a bubble in Apple stock. That's the kind of thing you can notice by understanding people's biases. And you can find them on a very large scale in gold and silver and occasionally in crude oil. Like recently we put a piece out about fear in crude oil around the Syrian potential attack. So there's a lot of these factors that we see across markets.
Would it be fair? Yeah. Would it be fair to say that investors are great at buying but not so great at selling?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. If you ask yourself, is it harder to buy a stock or to sell a stock?
Yeah.
Which is a harder decision? Selling a product. Definitely.
Excellent. All right. Well, Doctor, you're going to have to come back on another day. Dr. Richard Peterson's been our guest. He is the Managing Director of MarketPsych. And the website, again, to go look at his book and learn more about what he does, MarketPsych.com, P-S-Y-C-H is how we spell that, MarketPsych.com. And the books, great books, and I'm looking forward to reading my own copy, MarketPsych, How to Manage Fear and Build Your Investor Identity, and Inside the Investor's Brain, The Power of Mind Over Money. Dr. Peterson, thank you very much for being on the program.
Hey, thanks, David. Appreciate
all right.
it.
Thank you very much. And that is all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.